welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Week before the draft edition, 2019 schedule release edition. It's all happening today here on the show. Thank you for joining us. I am Bobby Fenton. The free stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, as always. And our friends over there have outdone themselves. You just saw the schedule in the past day, so you all know what that's like. Now, if you go to Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway on the east side of the road, just north of Hillsboro. Or if you go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, that's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com, and check out all of the inventory and the transparent online pricing, and you decide to buy a vehicle from Bill Curry Ford. If you do that, that schedule that just got released that you see all the games on, you will get a pair, that's two, a pair of Bucks season tickets with your car. That's it. Nothing fancy, not only if you buy this type of vehicle or if you buy a certain one from this section of the lot. No, you buy a car from Bill Curry Ford, two Bucks season tickets right there. It's the best deal, and they've had so many things going on lately, but this is the best one yet, and especially now that, again, you can get that sheet of paper in your hand. I got it right here, all right? You can put it up on your fridge, the fridge schedules, like y'all wanted last year that I typed up. I'm doing those again. And now you can have a ticket to every one of those games as the 2019 schedule is out. Bill Curry Ford, again, giving away. And this is going through April 25th, okay? So you've got a week to go. So if you're thinking, I need a car right now, it's something I've been thinking about doing anyway. And you're also thinking, hey, I like going to Bucks games. And if you're listening to this show, that's probably close to true. Now you can do both things at once, fill two needs. It's just like getting a great draft trade down, still getting the guy you want, and then also getting another guy with the trading down value. This is exactly the same type of thing, so you have a chance to do that. Bill Curry Ford, on or before April 25th, if you buy a vehicle there, you will get, again, two Bucks season tickets. April 25th is also opening night of the draft, so we got a lot to do on the show today with that, with the schedule release, with some other things as well. And so, first things first, the draft party next week. That is happening. It'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings on South Dale Mabry coming up on draft day, which is a week from today. I'm recording here on Thursday right now, so it's a week from today on Thursday. And they'll be getting out there. I mean, the draft itself obviously starts, what is it, 7 or 8? I have to check. I think it's 7 or 8. And, of course, the Bucks with the fifth pick will be probably picking within the first hour or so. But they'll be starting the festivities around 5 or 5:30 at the Buffalo Wild Wings on South Dale Mabry. And the draft party is going to be, again, led by the Bucks mob, 7,000 strong on Facebook. There's going to be dozens of fans who are actually flying in from out of town for this whole thing. And so the Sage, Ira Coffin will be there, the Joes, all that other stuff. It's going to be a ton of fun. And if you look at what happened last year, this year's party is going to be even bigger. There's a buffet now, and the party's free. But the buffet, $25, and that's all you can eat the rest of the night. You don't have to worry about anything else. Of course, there'll be bars set up both inside and outside. There'll be bathrooms inside. There'll be porta-potties outside. I mean, everything you would need. Big screens both in and out to enjoy the draft. It's going to be a hell of a good time. It's a great, just basically assembly of the Bucks fan base. And it should be a lot of fun. That's next week. And it'll be going on, you know, as long as there's draft picks being made, there'll be a party happening out there. So you can check out more information, of course, on the website, JoeBucksFan.com. Now, as far as the schedule release, I wanted to get to this today because this is always one of my most exciting things. And I've talked about it before. I think it goes back to my childhood when, again, it was before the internet, before Twitter, before they even announced that they were going to announce the schedule. And one day I'd just go to my grandmother's after school at Nana's house. She'd pick me up and I'd go over there and I'd spread the sports page out on her counter while I ate something good that she made for me. And all of a sudden, there, boom, there'd be a schedule in there. And it'd always be around April. I'd be like, whoa, the Bucks schedule. And it was so much fun. And I always loved looking through game by game. And when I was a kid, I used to like predict the wins and losses of each game, which again, I stress I was a kid when I did that. Adults still seem to do that now, which I think is silly, but when I was a kid, it was fun. But we've got some interesting things of note with the schedule. Of course, the opener will be at home, first of all, and that's something that has not happened since 2015, which was Jameis Winston's first ever game, his rookie year, and it also happened to be Marcus Mariota's first ever game, and they faced off against each other at Raymond James Stadium, and about, what was it, like 3 milliseconds into the game, Winston threw a pick six, and the Titans went on to win the game about 120-0 or whatever it was. It was like 45-14, but the point is, it was a terrible start to the Jameis Winston era. I remember all my friends that were not in camp Winston before that draft all texted me saying, see, here we go. This is how it's going to be for their careers. Just total domination. It's unbelievable. The Bucs passed on Mariota for Winston, blah, blah, blah. I remember all that. And obviously, since then, things have leveled out somewhat. A lot has happened. So, in any event, the Bucs will be opening up at home against San Francisco to start off the season. It's a 4:25 kickoff. Those are fun. I like those. The Bucs have run into a little bit of an issue in past years with late kickoffs early in the season because they've had some lightning delays, so that is something you have to watch. If you're asking me what I prefer just as a fan going to the game, or even at home watching the game, I always like the 4 o'clock starts. They just seem bigger for some reason, and, you know, especially when it's a game with the heat as bad as it's going to be always that time of year, it does help a lot to play later in the day, especially if you're on the west side. That sun is pretty much low enough where the entire west side is shaded, and then even parts of the east side start getting shade late in the game. So it helps. But again, sometimes you get the late afternoon thunderstorms as well. They go on prime time, and this is the first thing I always check. Whenever the schedule gets released, before I even look at who they play, we already know who they're playing anyway, but before I look at, you know, what order of home and road games, before I look at any of that, I look at what are the primetime games. And again, that's kind of a carryover from when I was a young kid and I'd get that schedule in the newspaper, and it was the first thing I'd always look for because the Bucs were never, ever on Monday Night Football. Like, growing up, I think they were on it once in the early 80s or something, and then they did not play on it again my entire childhood until I was in college. So every year, I would hope so hard that this was going to be the year, and this is when it was a really big deal, you know? And it never, and they'd get some Sunday night games. Like, they'd get those, remember TNT Sunday Nitro, when they'd split it up half and half? They'd have some of those, or some of the ESPN Sunday Nighters, and those were a huge event. And I remember my mom and dad, mainly my dad, letting me go to games on Sunday nights at the old Tampa Stadium, even though it was a school night. And even though the game didn't start till like 8 or 8:20, whatever it was. And those were some of my best memories growing up. So I always look right at that to see what the Bucs got. And, you know, you can't expect much with the way they've been playing. And they didn't get much. Although they did get a Thursday night game, and that is in week 2. In fact, it's the first Thursday night game on the NFL Network slate, because opening week is the national TV one on NBC. But they got that in week 2. So they go to Carolina in week 2. And then they're home against the Giants. That's week 3, that's September 22nd, and that's when the schedule gets interesting. Because from that day on September the 22nd, all the way through until November the 10th, that is nearly 2 months, the Bucs don't see, and none of us, if we're fans that go to the games, don't see the inside of Raymond James Stadium again, barring going to a USF game, of course, because the Bucs play on the road 2 games in a row after that, weeks 4 and 5. Then they've got their London game, which is a home game, but obviously is not at home in week 6. Then they're off week 7. Then they've got 2 more road games in weeks 8 and 9 beyond that. So you've got 4 weeks out of 5 with a road game. The home game is across the Atlantic Ocean, and there's a bye week. When you add it all up, that is 7 straight weeks of the NFL season without a game at Raymond James Stadium. And so that seems daunting, obviously. Now, the way they've got it set up, it's not the worst thing ever. I don't like how they have the 2 road games before London, really, is the only part I don't like about it. But then having the bye week and 2 road games after that aren't that bad. Of course, the Bucs schedule this year has them lined up against the NFC West, and that, in addition to a London trip, makes for a couple of long road trips. Throw in Seattle, who's their NFC West road game, and that's a trip to Seattle, which is not quite as far as London, but it's pretty close, closer than you think, as far as how far apart those two places are. And then you've got the LA trip before that, so they're bookended by 2 West Coast trips, and this is, again, part of it is inevitable. The Bucs schedule, as far as the formula, has them against the NFC West this year, and that's going to send you out west a couple times. And then the London game, we all know the score with that. I'm glad we have a London game. The reason we have one is because when you agree to host a Super Bowl, when they give you a Super Bowl, you got to take one of these London games too. That's fine. And so this is how it was arranged. Now, again, that's a lot of travel. It's a lot of travel. But if you look at the overall miles traveled for the Bucks this season, comes in and in just the 7 weeks where they're away from home on that one chunk of the schedule is 20,000 miles. The total for the whole schedule of travel is 23,000 miles. So even with a London trip and two West Coast trips in there, the Bucks are on the higher side, of course, of the total miles traveled among the 32 NFL teams, but they're not even close to the highest. That's the Raiders. And these West Coast teams have to travel a ton all the time because there's only so many West Coast teams. They're always making trips back and forth. The Raiders travel 35,000 miles this season, which is, and then they got hosed in more ways than one because they also play a ton of 1 o'clock games Eastern time, which history has shown that West Coast teams kicking off at 1 Eastern means it's 10 a.m. on their body clocks. And that, if you look at numbers against the spread and things like that over the years, tends to be a disadvantage. So, again, the Bucks have to deal with a little bit of schedule adversity there. And then after that, things level back out for the remainder of the schedule. They've got a couple of home games in a row, and they only go on the road to Atlanta and Jacksonville. And then back home again for a couple, then one more road trip to Detroit, which is indoors, then they close out with their final two at home. So after they get through with that really rough part of going on the road, 4 out of 5, and then, you know, the other bye week and all that, it's really not that bad. In fact, weather-wise, it's really good. They don't play any seemingly cold weather games this year. And they also get the final two games at home against Houston, which is a possible Saturday game. There's a few games they've set aside that could be moved to the Saturday during Week 16, and then the final game of the season at home against the Falcons. So when you look at it all told, what do you look at in a schedule? Like I said, I look at the primetime games. The Bucks don't have a Monday night or a Sunday nighter. They got the token Thursday nighter. Can't complain about that until the team plays better. I look at the travel, which again, you know who you're playing, but you don't always know in what order. And so now we see how that's arranged. And again, there's a tough part early, but it gets a lot better late. Then, here's an underrated part, and they've done more work on this lately in the NFL, and I think more attention's being paid to it to try to make things more fair. And I appreciate this, that the league does this, is rest differential. So what's rest differential? Without getting too technical, it's basically, how does the amount of rest you have going into your games compare to the amount of rest your opponent has? Mainly, how many times do you play teams coming off a bye versus obviously you have your bye versus did you get to play a Thursday game? That's shorter rest the next week, but then the week after, you know, you have longer. So basically comparing you to the team you're playing that week, how many more days or fewer days of rest do you have than them? And then it's basically a plus-minus thing all the way through the 16 games to see who's got a positive or negative rest differential. The Bucks did very well in this department. First of all, as far as rest differential, the Buccaneers, they don't play a single team coming off the bye week. That's big. Teams coming off the bye week, again, historically, if you look at numbers against the spread and things like that, teams coming off the bye week versus teams that aren't off a bye week do a lot better. And there are teams that have to do that multiple times. In fact, New England, Philadelphia have 3 games each against teams coming off of their bye week. The Packers, the 49ers, the Dolphins, and the Ravens and Saints both have a couple. There are a handful of teams who have no games versus another team coming off their bye, and the Bucs are one of those. So that works out really well. In fact, the Bucs have the 3rd best rest differential in all of the league, as they have a +8 day rest differential. So they'll be more rested than their opponents on a typical Sunday. Detroit has the best rest differential in the league at +12, the Chargers at +10, then there's 3 teams at +8 along with the Bucks. It's the Panthers and the Bills. So that's something worth looking at. I mean, that makes a big difference, and the Buccaneers actually caught a pretty good break there. If you look at, you know, history again, and they're just now coming around on all this, as far as the NFL, they're starting to figure out that this matters, and they're trying to address it in scheduling. In fact, if you look at the rest differentials over the years, the worst ones in past years sometimes top 20 overall days. Like, you'd see negative 20 rest differentials. You'd see, I think, negative 25 was the lowest. This year, the Patriots have the worst net rest difference compared to their opponents at minus 13 days, which is still not good. But if that's the worst one in the league, I suspect the league is actually starting to take that into account a lot more often. And again, the Bucs did very well here. I think that actually matters more than the amount of travel miles. And certainly, again, you look at the schedule, you go, whoa, we don't play at home at all from September 22nd to November 10th. And yeah, that's going to be tough. I mean, that's going to be a tough stretch, a lot of travel. And they're big boys. I mean, they can handle it. It's not always easy, but they have pretty nice accommodations and things like that. But even more importantly, again, knowing that of your 16 games, you're going to be the more rested team much more often than the other way around. And a lot of times it's the same, but on those days where there is a rest differential, it's going to be in the Bucs' favor more often than not. I think that's a big deal, and I think that'll help them out quite a bit. So good to see that. There was another curious thing brought up, and actually it was Joe who tweeted it at me last night, and I thought it was kind of cool. And I don't know if this is really true or not for the Bucs, but they had, it was Mike North, who's an executive with the NFL, and he went on the SiriusXM NFL channel show hosted by Gil Brandt and Alex Marvez. Went on with them. They were doing an interview about the making of the schedule and things like that. And he said that the league actually does, and there's so many things to consider. I mean, one of the league guys said it was like doing a 256-piece Rubik's Cube every year. And there's a really good article, MMQB, if you follow them on Twitter or, you know, read that website, there's a good article that they do every year kind of going behind the scenes of how the schedule's made, if you're into that sort of thing. But one of the things that they try to project, they look at teams in cities with a Major League Baseball team as well, and they try to look at the possibility or the potential of that baseball team making the playoffs and playing in October. And if they do, and especially is the case with someone like Philadelphia, who you might notice has three straight games on the road in October, they try to say, hey, this could be a potential playoff baseball team. Those two stadiums, Citizens Bank Park and, of course, Lincoln Financial Field, where the Eagles play, are in the same complex. They share parking lots and all that. Let's get the Eagles out of there during potential playoff runs for the baseball team. And so the Eagles being on the road three times in October might look like a coincidence. And I'm not saying that's the only reason, but that's not a total coincidence either, according to what the NFL executive said. So then I shrugged and I said, hey, you know what? Let me just go check the Bucs schedule. I heard about this road thing. When does it fall? Sure enough, Bucs don't play a single time at Raymond James Stadium in October. Now, it should be noted, of course, that first of all, the Bucs don't share a stadium complex with the Rays, where there's one on one side of the parking lot and another on the other side of the parking lot. So the Bucs and Rays can both host games at the same time, and it doesn't logistically pose any problems, but it definitely poses problems to a fan base that may not want to miss one or the other. And I know you can save your attendance jokes right now, but, you know, if the Rays are playing in the playoffs and the Bucs have a home game, you hate to have that happen, and they conflict. And I can say from experience, because this happened to me, and it probably happened to a lot of you guys, 2008. Y'all remember 2008, right? The Rays had that magical run to the World Series. They lost to the Phillies in five games. Well, the 2008 American League Championship Series was going on and finishing up during a week where the Bucs were supposed to host the Seattle Seahawks. Not supposed to host, they did. Where the Bucs were hosting the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. Again, Sunday Night Football hasn't happened very many times at Raymond James. In fact, I mean, I remember a few Monday Nighters. We've had more of those, but Sunday Nighters, I can't remember very many at all besides that one. I think there might have been one more, but I have to look. So it was supposed to be Bucs Seahawks, 8 o'clock or whatever it was, Sunday Night Football. It was Mike Allstott Appreciation Night. I mean, big night for the Bucs. So the Rays, during the week, had a 3-1 lead in the series over the Red Sox, if you remember. And they're up at Fenway for Game 5, if you remember. And they had a 7-0 lead in Game 5. B.J. Upton hit a 3-run homer, if I remember correctly, and the Rays were just dominating. It was awesome. I mean, it was like being on cloud 9 if you're a Rays fan. Until the late innings of that game, when the Rays blew a 7-0 lead, blew their chance to clinch the series and the American League pennant in Boston, and had to come home for Game 6 on Saturday night and potentially Game 7 on Sunday night. So what do y'all think happened? Of course, the Rays lost Game 6 on Saturday, And then on Sunday night now, we got American League Championship Series Game 7, and we got Sunday Night Football. Mike Allstott Appreciation Night, big night, going on concurrently, one in St. Pete and one in Tampa. So, for a guy like me, I've told the story before about when I turned of legal driving age in the mid-90s and I was able to get my driver's license, me and my buddy Drew immediately bought Buck season tickets because they were pretty affordable at that point. We just used money from our summer jobs and we had like old beat-up cars. We could go to the games basically without needing our parents' help or permission. We could just go on a Sunday. So we said, hey, dude, let's get Buck season tickets. They were $20 a game, so it was $200 for a season ticket. Let's get them. Let's just go to every Bucks game now, man. And he was like, yeah, we should do that. So we did. And so my streak began. It was actually late 1995. I went to the last couple of home games. And then starting in 1996, after those two extra home games in 95, I attended in person every single game the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played at home all through those years. All through college, I would come home on home Bucks game weekends, or at least on Sunday I'd come home from Gainesville. And whatever it was, didn't matter. I did not miss a single Bucks home game at all for what ended up being 105 straight consecutive weeks. And during that time, I remember like talking with my buddy Drew about, like, I said, eventually we'll miss a Bucks game. I don't know what's going to happen, but like, this can't go on forever. Eventually we won't be here. I wonder how I'm going to decide to end the streak. And he said to me, you're not going to decide to end the streak. He's like, it's going to end organically. There's going to be a good reason. Whatever it is, just do what feels right every week, and eventually something will come up and you'll know. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So this was exactly what he said. Game 7 of the ALCS. There's no way I could miss that over a regular season Bucks game. So I said, wow, for the first time in Raymond James Stadium's history, the Bucks are going to play a game, including preseason actually too, that I'm not there in the stands for. This is back when like going to games was a big deal, which I know now people are like, wait, you go to the games? Like you actually go in person instead of sitting at home on TV? Yes, people used to go to the games. It used to be a big deal. Everybody wanted to do it, and you had to fight over tickets. It was, trust me, if you're young and you don't know what I'm talking about, that's how it used to be. It was really fun. So that situation came up. And so I ended up saying, okay, you know what? If this was ever a time to miss a Bucks game, this is it. I'm going to the Trop for Game 7, which I did. And the Rays ended up winning that night in incredible fashion. Great memory. I don't regret any of it. It's a funny story, though. At the Rays game at the Trop, you know, I can't miss a Bucks game. It's one thing to not go, but to just not even be in touch with it is unacceptable. And I don't think I had a smartphone at this point. I think I still had a flip phone in 2008. I have to go back and check, but I'm pretty sure. So I didn't have a way to follow the Bucks game. I thought about bringing a headset and just listening to Gene Deckerhoff on the headset. And then finally I decided, you know what? Hey, there's going to be TVs, you know, in the concourses. I'll just kind of hang near one of those and keep checking on both, watch the Bucks game, and it'll be fine. Like, I'll figure it out. So we get there, and the Rays did not have a lot of TVs in the stadium turned to the Bucks game. I couldn't find any in the general fan area. There might have been some somewhere. So now I'm starting to get a little bit desperate. I'm like, whoa, I need to be seeing what's going on with the Bucks. You know, the game's going on, the baseball game right in front of me. I got to figure out what's happening with the Bucks. So I did what anybody would do with my guile and my background of trespassing and sneaking into places where I'm not supposed to be. I snuck into the VIP club. Because I know how to, even to this day, I know how to walk right in there without anybody checking. And so there's a hole. Or maybe they fixed it by now. Not a literal hole, but I mean, there's a way to get in. So I took my then girlfriend, now my wife, I took her and Drew, who was with me at the Rays game, because he wanted to be there too. I said, let's go sneak into the VIP club. I know they'll have TVs in there. So we do. So I'm watching the Bucks game. And it's working. We're all watching the TV. I'm blending in, trying not to look too conspicuous. But you got to remember, I had a radio show back then. So I was part of the media. I wasn't just some guy. And the people at the VIP club recognized me. And I got pinched. They came and got me. And they said, do you have a ticket for this? What are you doing? I was like, well, I'm kind of just trying to watch the Bucks game here. And I wasn't drinking alcohol or anything like that, or stealing any food or anything. I just wanted to watch the game. So they call the PR person for the Rays. She comes down. She was really nice, and she likes me. You know, different. She's not with them anymore. She said, look, I'm not going to do anything about this, but you're out of the stadium. You got to go. Just, you're kicked out. If you just do that, that's the end of it. I said, okay. I didn't argue with her. So I get kicked out of Game 7 of the ALCS while I'm trying to watch the Bucks and the Seahawks. And wouldn't you know, it's an odd thing because even though it's Game 7 of the ALCS, since it wasn't even really on the schedule till a couple of days before, since it wasn't even supposed to be happening, there was actually a lot of tickets even before the game that you could get out in the street. Because, again, people just all of a sudden had tickets to this game that they didn't think was going to be happening. People are trying to unload them. So it's like the fifth inning. I'm kicked out of the Trop. I'm just walking around next to 16th Street out there on the little plaza in front of the stadium. And I'm like, well, I can't miss the rest of the Rays game. What if they go to the freaking World Series and they have this whole big thing and I missed that? So I got to get back in. So I scalped the ticket for $10 in the fifth inning of Game 7 of the ALCS. Some guy still had some, and it was getting ready to, like, leave because he couldn't get rid of them. I gave him $10. He gave me the ticket. I go back in the stadium. This time, I stayed away from the VIP club, went up in the upper deck, watched the Rays clinch their first and only World Series berth with my buddies. One of my favorite sports memories, but I hated missing that game. It was a bummer to miss the game as far as not being there at Raymond James Stadium. Since then, I have stopped going every single week. I still go to Bucks games, but I'm no longer a season ticket holder as of now. Although, again, my offer still stands, and the Bucks, if they actually even care about one guy, and if any of them have heard this podcast, they already know, the day the Bucks fix their uniforms, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I will buy season tickets that day. That day, if the new uniforms are acceptable, I'll take it. But I will not support anything involving these uniforms in the form of buying season tickets. I cannot and I will not. I'd be compromising everything that I hold dear about myself. So anyway, if you want to give me an email, easy to do. My address, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, BobbyGameday at yahoo.com, or you can find me on Twitter, @BobbyGameday. Got one here from Mike who says he's got a streak currently going right now of 210 straight home Bucks games attended. That's obviously what's even more impressive than mine because it's double the amount, number one. But number two, the era it has come in. I mean, my era spanned some of the best, actually the best times in this franchise's history from right before that 1997 season all through the Super Bowl years and a couple more division titles after that. You know, it's been rough going lately. You're a real, true, hardcore diehard if you've been going to every single game all through the past decade of this franchise since then. Hats off to you, Mike, for that streak, and good luck with it this year. Chris gives me a tweet, says, I'm thinking he's not happy with the home schedule, says, Bobby, might be the worst NFL home schedule ever, in my opinion. When the Saints are the marquee game, Arizona, San Francisco, and the New York Giants are rebuilding, sold off a division game to London, and get nondescript AFC teams in Houston and Indy, bad as it gets. You know, it's not an awesome schedule as far as looking at the teams that come into Raymond James Stadium. I don't think that's as big of a deal in the NFL as it is in college. Like, the Gators some years, and like, odd-numbered years, they'll play Tennessee and Florida State both in the Swamp. Even-numbered years, they'll go to Knoxville and they'll go to Tallahassee, and then they'll have LSU come into the Swamp. But then the other team, I mean, some years you look at like the Gators' home schedule, and it's like two Division I AA teams, then a couple of crappy, you know, SEC teams, maybe one like non-power, like one group of five teams. And you're like, my God, there's only two games here I actually want to see in person. But that's college. Like, the quality of the opponent varies wildly. I'm not that concerned when I go to a Bucks game who they're playing. There's certain opponents that maybe matter more than others. And yes, this isn't like a white-hot home schedule as far as the teams that come in here. But, I don't know, I'm fine. I mean, San Francisco, I'll go to that game if I want to. I'll go. The Saints are always fun. Yeah, Carolina's not here. Atlanta, Arizona, whatever. I mean, it's just teams. Like, they're mostly for the NFL, with the exception of a handful of teams that maybe bring out-of-town fans or things like that. Most of the games are kind of the same to me. I like novelty. I like seeing new teams. I always like to see, like, the Colts. That would be fun. The Colts only come here once every 8 years. Last time they were here, I think we played them, was it? That was like a Saturday night, or was it? It was some weird night or something, if I remember, last time we played the Colts. Maybe it was a Thursday night, but I feel like it was one of those times they moved the game off its usual night because of a holiday or something, if I remember correctly. But anyway, it's not as big of a deal to me who the Bucks are playing against when I think, hey, let's go to the game today. It has more to do with what time the game is. It has more to do with just what's going on in my life as far as my ability to go. There might be some teams I prefer to see more than others, but it's not the same as college football where, like, a Gator game against Towson, who they have on the schedule this year, is ridiculous, versus a Gator game versus Tennessee or FSU. That's like night and day. That's like two completely different things. A Bucs game against the Steelers or the Packers or somebody like that versus a Bucs game against Arizona or Indy, you might prefer one opponent a little more than the other, but those two experiences, to me, aren't that different. It doesn't. There's not as much variance with NFL opponents as with college opponents, where it's, again, two completely different things. There is a little bit of price variance, however, because they are doing the tiered pricing thing again. Now, they obviously don't have quite the ammo for the tiered pricing as they have in past years, but for regular games this year, lowest price, get-in price, if you want to buy face value, is going to be $40. The two high-wattage teams they've chosen are the Giants, and of course, like he said, Chris is right, the Giants aren't exactly Super Bowl contender this year, but that doesn't matter. The reason they do tiered pricing is because a lot of their fans will want to come to the game, so you're going to sell more tickets. So those games, the Saints and the Giants, $70 is the cheapest price for a game. And that's a big difference. It's only two of the seven home games. The other five will all be $40 get in. And that's if you buy single game. I don't believe they do that to you if you are a season ticket holder. So if you're looking for other reasons to buy season tickets or get them from Bill Curry Ford when you buy a vehicle anytime between now and draft night on April 25th, did I mention they're going to give you two free tickets to all Bucs games, the season tickets, if you buy a vehicle there, any vehicle between now and next week, because they are. So that's another thing to consider as well. Either way, again, next week on Thursday, we'll have our draft day show. I'll record that sometime in the morning on Thursday. And we didn't do a ton of draft stuff today, but again, there just simply isn't much left to do. The hay is in the barn now. The teams are doing their boards and all that. Now it's just time to let it all play out. It's a week away. It's going to be a ton of fun. The draft party is happening. Buffalo Wild Wings, Southdale Mabry, just north of Gandy, just south of El Prado and Euclid, right across from Britton Plaza and the Lowe's and all that. It's right there. There's a Crunch Fitness in there and all that. Great spot to be. Again, the Sage, Ira Kaufman's going to be there. The Joes are going to be there. There's going to be big screens outside, bars outside, all the action inside. If you want food, $25, all-you-can-eat buffet. But you don't have to do that. The party's free, and it's going to be a great, great gathering of a lot of good Bucs fans. People are flying in from out of town to attend this thing, and it is absolutely 100% on. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can get more information on the website. Just head on over to joebucsfan.com, and you can check it out and get more information. In the meantime, I want to thank the Joes, of course, for giving me this outlet, this venue, the chance to get in front of all of you guys every week. It's the single best place anywhere on the internet for Buccaneers coverage. You can get it all right here, so thanks to them. Thanks to all of you for tuning in and making this as fun as it is. Again, email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, or catch me on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. Of course, thanks to Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, or go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. Buy a car between now and next week, the draft, okay? Two free Bucs season tickets. It's as simple as that. Go check out that deal and more. And of course, I'll be back next Thursday on draft day. We'll do our show. I'll do it earlier in the day and get us ready for the draft that night. And in the meantime, we've got a holiday weekend coming up here. Be safe. Have fun. Enjoy time with your loved ones or whatever else you might be doing. And no matter where you are, remember, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and let's go Bucs.